not sure that we're going to solve all of our questions, but I do want us to look into the scriptures tonight. I'd like to start out by reading there in James and just see what James has to say, chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, in other words, you have a lot of faith to perform miracles or whatever, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, or worked together with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, one of the things you'll find when you begin to read the Bible and study this whole thing of faith and works, there's tension. We've talked about this whole idea of tension before. Tension gives strength. When you release the tension from one side of a hanging bridge, what happens? You don't have a bridge anymore, do you? It's gone. You have to have the tension on both sides to make that bridge effective. So when we're using tension in this sense, it's not a bad word. It's a good word. We need that tension. If you go back into Romans, read chapter 3 and 4 back in there, Paul talks about this. And he says, was Abraham justified by works? No. James said, was Abraham justified by works? Yeah. So are they disagreeing? Are they on different pages? No. But there's that tension there, and you have to understand that, and you have to see that. And we're going to look at that this evening. Okay. Some people look at it, like Craig said, this is the fight of the covenant. Faith versus works. We're going to have this big knockout, drag-out thing here, and one of them's going to win. We're going to have either faith or works, right? Well, there's a better way to look at it. I think this is interesting. When man, by faith, takes hold of God, works come from that. And those works get other men to reach out by faith and take hold of God. And it just keeps moving around and around like that. So I think this is a better way to look at it. Faith and works are a strength. They're a tension that build a strength into Christian life and experience, that when you try to separate them or do without one or the other, and that's what James is really talking about. He's saying, hey, you know, you can talk all day about faith. If it doesn't work out in life, it's dead. So we want to look at this whole thing and think about it. Can I have faith without works? Okay, not really. And James says that. Faith without works is dead. Well, what's a dead faith worth? Not much. Okay, Now, how about works without faith? Huh? Huh? Be careful. Some of you are saying yeah, some of you are saying no.
We can have works without love.
Okay, we can have works without love. Okay, a lot of people that don't even have faith have good works, good deeds, right? Do I have to have faith in God to show kindness? No. Do I have to have faith in God? Do you think everybody that pays forward for gas or for food or whatever has faith in God, faith in Christ? Probably not. So we can have, in one sense, we can have good works without faith. But in the Christian perspective, if we have works, if we have the right kind of works, there has to be faith behind it. So we'll look at that. What saves me?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So Jesus Christ is there, and we're all saved. Okay, faith what? Okay, faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the work that Jesus Christ has done for my salvation. In His sacrifice and His resurrection. Okay? Now, how many of our good works can save us? Zero. Can my good works keep me saved? Huh? Are you sure? I hear it a lot of times. Faith saves us, but we have to have good works in order to stay saved. No. We have to have faith to stay saved. And that's going to produce works, but don't ever get it mixed up. Don't think that because I do good works, that's going to keep me saved. That's foolish. If our good works couldn't save us in the first place, they sure aren't going to keep us saved. That doesn't mean that they aren't a part of our life, but we have to keep them in the right place, okay? What's the point of good works? If they don't save us, if they don't keep us saved, then what's the point of them? Okay? Evidence of faith. To bring glory to God. Anything else? Okay, it's fruit in our life. Okay. Okay, but there's something. Jesus said it very plainly. Okay, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Oh, okay. So other people see those good works and glorify God. Right? That's what Jesus said. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the words right from Jesus. Okay? So that's one of the main points for us having good works. Now, what is one of the most detrimental things that we as Christians can do in when it comes to sharing the gospel with other people?
Being inconsistent.
Hypocrisy, right? Or not walking the talk, right? We all know it. We've seen it. We've done it. You know, people say, well, if a Christian acts like that, I sure don't want to be one. So So that's part of the point. Now, let's just look at some things works are not. Okay? Works are not a guarantee of spirituality. Just because you do, what does the love chapter say? If I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it's nothing. If I give all my goods to feed the poor, are those good works? Sure. But if they're not from the basis of faith and love, they're not of any profit. So good works don't prove spirituality. Just like I said, if I go to the restaurant and the guy ahead of me pays forward and pays my bill, does that guarantee me that that guy's an awesome Christian? No, of course not. Be careful, because we have a tendency to think, we don't go so far as to say this right out loud, but we have a tendency to think that good works are a guarantee of spirituality. Jesus said in Matthew 7, there's going to be many that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all kinds of good works? And he's going to say, I didn't even know you. Be gone. And Matthew 23, here were guys that had all the good works, the Pharisees. Jesus said, everything they do to be seen of men. And here you're going to see another tension here. What did Jesus just say? We talked about, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good, all their works they do to be seen of men. Well, that's what he said they're supposed to do, right? Well, not quite. Okay? It looks like it's kind of a tension there, but pay attention. Because Jesus is talking about why the works come out. So just because we have good works does not guarantee spirituality. It doesn't give us a reason to brag. You remember the publican and the Pharisee when they prayed? Remember how the Pharisee prayed? He was bragging. God, I do this, I tithe, I fast, on and on and on. And God said he prayed with himself. You know, he was bragging. Good works, and Paul says this in Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By the law? By what law? Of works? No. The law of faith excludes boasting. Okay? And you read Romans 3 and 4 there, and you read it and read it and read it and read it, and get a hold of what Paul's saying there about faith and works. It's very, very important. We don't have time. I've got a ton of stuff here. We know that our justification is not by works. And you can go to any of these scriptures and they all tell us the same thing. It's not by the works of the law that we're justified. It's not by our good works that we're justified. How are we justified? By faith in what Jesus has done, right? That's how we're justified. Works is not a grace helper. Romans 11, verse 6. And here's what Paul says. If it's by grace, if we're saved by grace, if that's how we enter into the family of God, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace isn't grace. If it's of works, it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And what he's saying here is, how many of you here have jobs? How many of you here go to your job because you love it so much and you don't collect a dime ever? Nobody? Why? You've earned it, right? You've worked. And because of the work you've done, you've earned a paycheck. And you expect to be paid. And so that's Paul's argument. If we've worked and we've earned it, it's not grace. If it's of grace, then it's not works. So works is not a grace helper. In other words, grace is just barely getting us by, and so if we add works to it, it makes it better. It's not that at all. Paul makes that very clear. Works is not the Spirit, and Paul asks these questions in Galatians 3. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or the one that does miracles and that stuff, did he get that from the works of the law? No. He got that by faith from God. And so works are not the Spirit. They don't produce what the Spirit produces. Works are not salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, familiar verse here. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul just comes at this argument from all sides over and over and over. If you work for salvation, then it's something that you earn. And it is not something you earn. It never is, it never was, it never will be. Salvation is only because of the gracious heart of God toward man. Only. And that's something that we have to remind ourselves of over and over. Now, what good works are? They are to be seen. We talked about this, Matthew 5:16. So that men may see your good works and glorify your Father. 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conversation, your lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles. They can say bad things about you, but your good works are going to cause them to glorify your Father. So good works are for the purpose of being seen so that they bring glory to God. They're to complete us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or completely equipped. The man of God may be completely equipped to all good works. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose for us. They're for the purpose of witness. Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works. You're presenting yourself as a pattern of good works. What kind of witness is most effective? If you go to court. Okay, one that works, but even more than that. An eyewitness. If what's one of the things that a lawyer will try to do when he cross-examines a witness? He'll try to show inconsistencies in his life or in his testimony. If he can bring up, this guy has lied about this, he's lied about this, he's lied about this, then the jury's going to look and they're going to say, oh, well, I'm not quite sure about this. But he says, look, you show yourself a pattern of good works. Why? Because that's going to give you validity as a witness, okay? That's important. And, you know, it's not that we're drumming up all these good works. It's the Spirit of God working in us and through us allowing Him, like Dana said this morning, because we're in love with Jesus, not because we're sitting here trying to make these good works all happen, okay? That's very key. It's for the purpose of showing God's work of grace in us. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people or a special purchased possession, zealous of good works. That's God's desire for each of us. He wants us to be interested in good works. Not for our salvation, but so that we are able to share the grace of God and bring faith into the hearts of other people. Okay? Now, good works are good and profitable. Titus chapter 3. And I want you to notice this. This stuck out to me in a way it never had before. Titus 3, 5 to 8. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. Oh, I didn't catch that. I was typing there. My computer started jumping things in. Skip down there to the second line. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that you affirm constantly. What's that sound like? Sounds to me like a witness, right? You're affirming constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Look what he says in that last line. These things are good and profitable unto men. I don't know if I ever noticed that phrase at the end of those verses like I did when I was looking at this. Our good works are profitable unto men. What if we don't have good works? Not so profitable, right? It causes men to turn away from God. Okay, and so that's why it first of all misrepresents God's character, but secondly, it causes men to look and say, it's not worth it. The biggest witness tool on earth is the changed life. A changed life. A life, a mouth that used to spew garbage and filth and rot, all of a sudden is singing praises and bringing glory to God. A heart that was full of bitterness and unforgiveness and all kinds of things like that is all of a sudden filled with joy and peace and love. How many of you remember the cross and the switchblade? Somebody just mentioned it not too long ago. You remember Nikki talking about what happened in his life when he gave his heart to Jesus? It's exactly what he talks about. He says, My life was full of drugs and all kinds of filth and hatred and unrest and all of those things. But when I came to Jesus, my life was filled with peace and joy and love. A changed life. These things are good and profitable unto men. And Nikki Cruz went on to become a very effective witness for Jesus Christ because those good works are profitable to men. Okay? Good works are provocative. Some of us like to be provocative. We just get a charge out of provoking something. But here's the good side of it, okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We by doing good works, we provoke others to good works. So we have to keep that constantly before us. We have to think about that and deal with that. It's interesting, I didn't mention this, but the word works in the New Testament is found like 118 times. The word faith in the New Testament is found like 245 times. You think maybe that says something? That's just those words. It's not forms of the word. That's just the word. You think maybe that says something to us? But we're looking at this whole thing of works. Here's faith. What is faith? Faith is a place of rest. We had this in Hebrews, where some of this is into Hebrews, Hebrews 4:10. He that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now wait a minute. We've just been talking about good works and how those works are an effective tool for witness, and now we're talking about ceasing from our works. What's he talking about? He's talking about the rest of faith. We enter into faith in Jesus Christ. That gives us freedom from our own works. We're no longer striving to earn God's favor. We're no longer in the position of trying to earn righteousness. We rest in faith, in the fact that Jesus has done the work. He has provided the salvation. By faith we rest in that. And as we rest in that, that gives us a fruitfulness and an abundance of good works that nothing else can give. And so that's important for us. Sure. Okay. It's referring to creation, and that's saying when God finished His creative work, He rested from it. It was the end of His creative work. And He's saying, if we've entered into God's rest, He, or us, we've ceased from our own works. And I maybe I'm wrong, but that my understanding of that is that we no longer are working to produce. You have a thought on that?
No, I don't know. I just caught
okay.
The
mm-hmm.
Just, being able to stop and think about that.
Mm-hmm. I would see it as meaning no longer producing my own work, no longer serving myself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. If we're working to earn salvation, we are serving ourselves. It goes right along with what Dana shared this morning. Is it because we're wanting the rewards, the benefits, or is it because we're in love with Jesus? Faith without works is dead. We read that there in James chapter 2. Work or faith is dead without resulting actions. And here's what James is saying. The problem was, in those days, you had these people that said, I have faith. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what comes out of my life, I have faith. And James is saying, look, if you have faith, then it comes out. Faith is not something that's mystical that hides inside of you. Faith is something that controls the way you live. That's what James is really saying. So we need to think about that. He also says there that it's unprofitable without resulting action, therefore it's dead. Faith without works is dead. It has no life. It has no power. It has no viability. It has no effect on anyone else. You can, and this is what James says, the devils believe. What is it? It's just a mere assent to reality. It doesn't change anything about them. And that's what James is saying about that whole thing about faith. If there's not a resulting action, it's dead. That's all. A life is of faith. Now pay attention to what this is saying. A life of faith is born out in a lifestyle of faith. Okay? This is from James chapter 3, verse 13. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. That word conversation really means lifestyle. It's not talking about just what we say. That's included. But it's our whole lifestyle. Who's a wise man? Who's a man of faith? Let him show out of the good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. So that's important. Now, it's important for us to have good works. Those are the things that help people to see what's going on within us. But don't ever sell yourself short in thinking that good works and a lifestyle is enough to share your faith. People know. It is crazy. Somehow, I don't know how, but when men come to my shop, somehow they turn off the curse button. I don't say a word. They come in and they're talking and not very long. You know, maybe one word slips out or something, and pretty soon they're talking and it's just, you know, like they're talking to their mother or whatever. But you know what? That's fine. Something's happening there that's effective, but unless I share with them what is going on in my heart, they won't find faith. They might see my good works, and they may glorify God. But unless I verbalize my faith and say, the reason, if they ask me about that, the reason I speak the way I speak is because of the power of God within me and the faith that I have in Jesus Christ, they won't know. So just be careful with this whole thing of our good works. It's not, the good works is not an end, right? It's a means. it's a way to get people. It's a net. It's a net to draw people in so that we have opportunity to share with them what's in our heart, our faith. Okay? Now, let's just look at some things. This is kind of interesting. Some questions and examples concerning faith and works. We've just been through Hebrews 11. 19 times in Hebrews 11 we have this phrase, either by or through faith, in relation to what people did. What did Noah do by faith? Build an ark. And you just follow through with all of them here. Abraham, Moses' parents, you know, you start reading through there and you see every one of them did what they did by faith. This is where the tension comes in then, okay? Because Paul says, look, it's through faith. It's by faith that these people did that. James comes along and he says, okay, you can say all day you have faith, but if you don't have works, it's dead. Meaningless. Valueless. Won't accomplish anything. But then James turns it to the other side and he said, if you say that you have faith but you don't have works, that doesn't work either. They did gain by works, but their works were a result of their faith. You see what's See what's going on there? Look down that list in Hebrews 11 and just notice. And the last one says a whole bunch of other people did stuff through faith. Even suffering persecution and torture and death through faith. Through faith. By faith. They did these things, okay? They didn't one day say, Abraham didn't say, I really need to offer my son to God, to show God that I'm really sincere about following him. Did he? No. God came to Abraham and said, you offer Isaac, your only son. And by faith, Abraham offered Isaac. Did he have works? Absolutely he had works. The works were by faith. So we have to keep that continually before us. Here's something interesting. This talks about Barnabas, and it also talks about the Roman group. Acts 11:24. It's talking about Barnabas. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now, how did Barnabas' faith add people to the Lord? Did he go out and he said, I'm a man of faith, I'm a man of faith, and they said, we want to know about your faith. You know what the name Barnabas means? Son of consolation. Barnabas was an encourager. His faith produced encouragement. That was a good work that came from his faith. And that was one of the things that caused people to be added to the Lord. They saw what was happening in Barnabas' life because of his faith. Now, how would they know what Barnabas' faith is without works? Not going to happen, right? They see the works, and then they're drawn into the net, and then Barnabas shares his faith with them, and they come to faith in Christ. Okay? And they're in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And this is interesting, because you start reading the rest of Romans, and you're like, these people are way gone. But here's what he says in the beginning. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, they had some works that definitely needed tuning up. But they apparently had some good works that displayed their faith to the world. I thought that was interesting. Faith lived out produces faith. When I live out my faith, and that fleshes out in good works, that produces faith in others. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. When the just live by faith, what happened with Abraham when he lived by faith? It did good works, right? By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. Did a good work. By faith, Noah built an ark. Did a good work. And so, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. See what's happening? Our faith, fleshed out in good works, produces faith in others. It points people to faith. So we've got to remember that. Paul, and I'm not going to take time to go into this evening, but go in chapter 3, the last part of chapter 3 of Romans and middle of chapter 4, and Paul gives some really strong arguments to the Romans about this whole thing of faith and works and how faith has to be the foundation. It has to be the starting point. It has to be the beginning of all of our life. Now, Paul also says life has to be lived by faith. And I hope you can get what I'm trying to say here. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Can you say that? The life I now live. He's not saying this faith I have in my head. He's not saying all this stuff that I'm thinking is going to happen on the other side. He says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So faith tells us that life must be lived by faith. Life must be, you get that? Life must be lived by faith. Not just thought about by faith, not just something off somewhere else. Life must be lived by faith. That's really key. And Paul says that so clearly. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he's worthy of all the souls that he died for. And that produces good works. Okay? True righteousness can only come by faith. And here's Paul writing to the Philippian church, verse 9. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The true righteousness. You notice that? Not my own righteousness that comes by the law and by my own works, but the righteousness which is through faith. That's the righteousness that needs to come about in our lives. And that can only come by faith. There is no other way that the righteousness of God can come into our lives except by faith. Remember, Hebrews 11:1? Now he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those with faith. Right? Those that diligently seek him. God gives his righteousness to those who seek him, those who come to him by faith. Faith shines out in testing. 2 Thessalonians 1:3-4. He says, you know, we've heard about your faith and how it grows so exceedingly. Your faith is just getting huge. And we're glorying in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. I like that. Paul says, look, you're getting tested. You're getting squeezed. And out of the lemon comes lemonade, right? You're getting squeezed. And as you're getting squeezed, faith is just mushrooming. It's not getting squeezed out. It's not getting put out. It's growing. The testings are. I just thought about it just now. I just read yesterday or today a brother that said, "I'm so excited." In fact, I think it was in one of our Sunday school papers this morning, maybe the Alight, one of those. Said, "I'm so excited when I see what's happening in India, where the pressure's starting to get turned on by the government against the Christians." He said the church is about to really grow. because the pressure is coming. And the church is going to grow and grow and grow. I thought that was interesting. That's what Paul says happened there with the Thessalonians. Young people, you can be strong in faith. This is not about having to be some old guy to be strong in faith. Paul tells Timothy there in chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith, in purity." You can have the faith of Jesus Christ and good works that are an example to others. In fact, a young person following Jesus Christ in faith with good works to declare that faith is probably one of the most effective tools in our world today. Faith is warfare. You may get the mistaken notion that faith means, we talked about it being rest. But you may think faith is something kind of easy, that it's an easy road. Faith is warfare. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. "Thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith." You remember what our weapon, our armor is? The shield of faith. To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We're fighting in a battle for our souls and for the souls of men around us. And we have to take the shield of faith and use it so that all that the enemy brings falls to the ground without effect. Okay? Faith that works by love is effective. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." I think that sums it up really, really well. In Jesus Christ, this is what's effective. This is what really makes thing avails. That means that it accomplishes something. Faith which works by love. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for men moved by the Spirit of God who wrote things that clarify for us and bring to our minds the truths of your word and of your character and your desire, your revelation to us. Lord, I pray that you help us, that we live by faith. That our works be by faith, that our accomplishments be through faith. Help us in the life that we now live, right now, today, this week. Help us to live by faith. Faith in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, produce from our lives those good works that will glorify you and cause men to seek after you, to desire you. Lord, we praise you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.